It's good to see folks out this evening, and it's good to be here. My wife and I, we drove in on Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday evening, and as soon as we came in, her phone was jacked up, and so we had to stop at Verizon. And as soon as we left there, she says, "Feels like we need to go home." And she says, "I feel like we're home," and we are. It was our home for 18 years, and it's good to be back. I could talk about a lot of things that are going on in the last 5 years and what has happened, but I'll just suffice to say that I'm just glad where I'm at right now, physically, spiritually, mentally, and the Lord has done a good work, and I appreciate Him. Even though that we become not so faithful, He is always faithful to us, you know. And when we need Him in some very dark moments, you go through some dark times, but the God will never forsake you. And Brother Fred asked me, he says, "How you doing? How you feeling?" I said, "I feel great." And it's been a long time since I can say that. And I appreciate the Lord's faithfulness to us. It's good to have my wife with me to be able to come back. Actually, it was her idea to come up here. And she says, "You know, we ought to go to Spokane." I says, "You sure? What do I have to do for us to go to Spokane? Is there something ulterior that she's looking at?" She goes, "No. This time, we need to go up there." I said, "Well, are you sure?" So it was her idea. And I says, "I think it's a good idea." So we have a few problems with the truck, but we're here. And I praise God for all the safety He gave to us to come up here. I know as missionaries, I appreciate missionaries. I appreciate those that live in trailers and travel and do all the rest of the stuff. It's because it's not an easy thing. And so we met Foss, Brother Foss, Brother and Sister Foss, F-O-S-S? Huh? Oh, Fawcett? Oh. Flight deck. My hearing shot, anyway. And normally I get the low voices. It's the high voices I miss, you know. So, but anyway, it's good to see Brother Nathan. Brother Nathan was my partner in crime to go out to the prison. How long did you go with me to the prison? So about 5 years. About 5 years. And he and I went out there every Tuesday and preached to the inmates. And hey, we never got beat up. There was never a riot in there. And, you know, so praise the Lord. And anyway, what else is going on? It's good to see Brother and Sister Fowler here. And I just met Brother Fowler and Barbara. She still hasn't been nice to me since I've been back. And she's all nice to my wife, but you know, I don't know what it is. I don't know what I did to her, you know. Why are you so mean to me anyway? Never. Anyway, any questions for me? You know, like, why did you leave? I was having a tough time, and it all comes down to PTSD. I didn't know what was wrong, and I was going crazy. And I thought I was going crazy, and you know, then VA came out and says, "You're crazy." And I went, "I'm officially crazy," and I felt so much better after that. So, and because you don't know what you have, you know, until you find out that it happens. And it's been a long time in coming. And when it hit me, when you start getting in your 50s, I wondered why my dad was like he was in his 50s and his 60s. And now I understand. So God has been good. And so, you know, the VA counselors helped me and took care of it. And I'm doing well. Spiritually, the 5 years that we've been gone, God has done a lot of things in our life, and I'm very grateful for what He's done, and I'm grateful for the fact that One thing is I always had my study. I always had my reading. I always had the things that I love to do. The problem is I had a lot of inlet, but I had no outlet. And, you know, when you have no outlet, you become very stagnant. You become very stale. You know, you become like the Dead Sea, you know, because it has no outlet. And probably in the last few years, I was called to go and pastor a church in Mayport. I was going to go after the sailors, and sailors have a very dear place in my heart. Because I'm a sailor, but I walked in, and it was a place that was dying, and God blessed it. We had this great big old warehouse, and it was just a big elephant, you know. And a fella came down to help me, a guy who's the head of Jehovah Jireh, and I said, "You do this all the time, brother." And he said, "Why don't you help me?" He said, "I don't do this." And I said, "How are we going to sell this building?" And so we hum and hawed, and we prayed, and so he got on his cell phone, and he was going to call some lawyer in Jacksonville, and he called the wrong number of one that he'd put down. He didn't know which one it was. It was a wrong number, and they were going back and forth. "Who's this? Who's this? Who's this? Why'd you call? What are you doing?" And it was going back and forth, and I'm going, "Oh, my goodness, what is going on here?" Anyway, he said, "Well, we're selling a building." "Where's the building?" He told me. And within 10 minutes, that building was sold. And we got just over $300,000 profit out of that building. And so when we came and we sold it, I just turned the check over to Jehovah Jireh, and I was done with it. I waited about 1 year. We closed everything out, and everything is done. And praise God for that. But what a headache. What an absolute headache. But I learned a few things. I learned a lot of things. And so I'm ministering. I'm helping a pastor at First Baptist Church in Green Cove Springs, and he allows me to preach once a month, you know, and sometimes that's just not enough, especially with, I mean, you know, I talk a lot, Brother Fred. I do. You forgot. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of John. The book of John. I am going to quit rambling. I'm going to quit rambling. John 15. I got to try to draw some here. What's that look like, Brother Fred? What are you trying to say? A moose. Looks like a moose. Move. Anyway. Not yet. Okay. So you got the idea, right? I should have done this before. Okay. It's a grapevine, okay? Take your Bibles and turn to John 15. I'm going to start reading verse 1. You can remain seated for the reading of the Word of God for tonight. The Lord said, John 15, "I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your precious scripture. I thank you for the love that you have shown us through your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move in our midst. I pray that you would penetrate our hearts and grip our minds and draw us deeper into the depths of your love. I pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. If there's anybody here tonight that is not saved, I pray, God, that you deal with them. And I pray that those that may be struggling, I pray, God, that there would be something that you, Lord, would deal with their hearts, show them. And so, Father, I pray that you take over the services tonight and that everything that is said and done would glorify you. And we ask all these things, all because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It says in verse 1, he says, I am the true vine. Jesus Christ is the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Okay? So now, you've got the Father, he is the husbandman. Okay? The Father. Father in heaven is a husbandman. A husbandman is a farmer. If you go down to Washington State University, you can get a degree in husbandry. Okay? That's what fathers are, farmers are. They're what they're dealing with husbandry is what it's called. And so the Father is the husband. He is the husbandman because he is the one that takes care of all of this. The vine is Jesus Christ. He says, I am the vine. Okay? He is the vine right here. Okay? Jesus Christ is the vine. Who are the branches? Us. We are the branches. Okay? And there's one thing that wasn't mentioned here, and it's called the sap. There's one thing about a vine that a grapevine, which is really kind of a remarkable plant in itself, is the sap. The sap runs through a grapevine very quickly. And I mean, it moves fast. And and that's what it does. The sap is, you could probably see, is probably, you can look at it as the Holy Spirit, because he moves within. And he brings nourishment out to the vines, or out to the branches, to the leaves, with the production of the fruit, okay? So you've got the Holy Spirit. And you say that that's the sap, okay? All right. Let's underline it, because he's deity. All right. Now, you look at this, and it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch, now, you need to look at these words. Every branch in me beareth not fruit. Excuse me. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that, I am so sorry, Lord, please help me. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Well, what he's saying, the purgeth, he's pruning, okay? Because what happens is many times there's these little sucker things that come on there, and what it does, it takes away the nourishment. And so the husbandman comes up and he starts snipping things off that doesn't belong in our life. Now, let me tell you something. Our life, keep your finger there, and I just want you to turn over to Romans chapter 8 for just a second, okay? You need to look at this so we can, I'm trying to get some things down here so we can understand what the Lord is trying to get across to us, okay? In Romans 8, 28, we know the verse, okay? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, too often we stop right there and we don't go into verse 29. And it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So what the Lord is trying to do is trying to get the Christian to be the image of his Son to the world. So whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, whatever it is, the Lord is going to deal with us and he's going to start pruning some things in our life. Now, you know my story of patience, Mario. Everybody knows about Mario. I prayed for patience, and God sent me Mario. 18 months, it was probably one of the worst times in my life. And when everything, it would come down on me, and I say, Lord, give me patience, give me patience, give me patience. And Mario would do something else. Go, Lord, give me patience. I'm going to throw this guy over the side of this ship into the Indian Ocean. And I'll yell, man overboard, you know, and we'll just sail away. And Mario's gone. Well, after 18 months, I came to an end of myself. And something had happened. And I called my pastor, Pastor Prisk. And I said, Pastor, I'm going to be there. I'll be there in about 20 minutes. And he says, well, now, brother, I think that you don't have to come. I said, Pastor, I'm going to be there in about 20 minutes. I want to meet you down at your office. No, brother, I says, I'll be there in 20 minutes. And I hung up. I was off. And I'm thinking, I don't know what to do. And when I got there, he was there waiting for me. And he says, well, brother, what's happening? And I says, I told him, I don't know what's going on. This guy is killing me. I mean, my life stinks. And he asked me one question. What are you praying about? Bing. Thanks, Pastor. And I wasn't there 5 minutes, and I was gone. He's like, what was that about? And I went home. These things don't come but by tribulation. You're not going to wake up in the morning and be patient. It's something you exercise, okay? And I went, he was a perfect gift from God. I just didn't see it. I was a fairly new Christian. I didn't understand all this stuff. pastor says, if you have problems, pray about it. You know, I'm dumb enough to do it. You know, I thought it would be easy. I didn't realize it was going to be hard, you know. And so, yeah, I remember telling the inmates, fellas, there's one thing about being a Christian. It's not for the faint of heart. Being a Christian is not easy. You have these fellows that come in here and they say, you know, if you would get saved, it would just make things so much easier and better for you. And I told them, that's a lie. It'll change your direction. But I'm going to tell you right now, you got a target on your back that Satan's going to go after you. And God is going to conform you to be what? The image of his son. Because you are not. Folks, we are a mess. There's not a soul in this room and on the face of the earth can say that we've arrived. We are a mess. I'm a mess. You're a mess. We're all a mess. You know. And so he says there, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Why? That it may bring forth more fruit. Now, you've got this little branch, right? All of a sudden, it's separated. Okay, he's broken off, and he's like that. And I'll tell you, when the sap is stopped, that thing withers up and dries like that. Now, what he's talking about here, if throwing into the fire, he's not talking about losing your salvation or something like that. What he's talking about is this. He's going to let you go. You know, here a couple of weeks ago, I was, you know, and when I start things, I exegete the words and I start looking at them and I spend some time with it. And I for some reason, I looked up the word backsliding again. And so I went into this dictionary and this and that, and I'm looking it up. And I was thinking about it and pondering this word of backsliding. And really, backsliding, we use it too much and we use it out of context, okay? A backslider is this, a backslider who makes up his mind and turns his back on God. He just doesn't go, oh, slips away. Oh, Lord, I'm just backsliding. It's not that. They make up their mind and they just walk away from God. That's a backslider. And how many times do we say, well, I led that person to the Lord. Well, I haven't seen anything. Well, he must be backsliding. You know something, you got to see something of God in something before you see a backslider. I think they're probably not saved, okay? But he prayed a prayer, whatever, okay? But I led him to the Lord. Well, who are you? You're a mess, right? Remember, we're a mess. We are a mess. And it goes on to say there, now ye are clean, in verse 3, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now, who is the word of God? Jesus Christ. He is the word of God. Now, in the Beatitudes, he says, you will hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, I was going to bring that tonight, but I decided not to. But the thing is, when we are before God, let me share this. How is it, brother and sister, when we share the gospel with people, we talk about the cross and the grace of God. And then after they get saved, we say, well, you've got to walk like this, talk like this, dress like this, be that, 1, 2, 3, 4. All of a sudden, you get saved by grace, and somehow you got to live by works. Where is living by grace? Where is it? Now, when we stand before God, God is not going to say, oh, you've disappointed me. The things that you've done, that was taken care at Calvary. That will never come up again, our sins. They're gone. Are they under the blood? Or are they not under the blood? Are they under the blood? Okay, they're under the blood. Are they gone from the east as from the west? Have they been thrown in the deepest part of the ocean? They're not coming up, right? So when we stand before God, he said, oh, you won't receive all these things. Let me tell you something. When God looks at us, he sees righteousness. Why? Jesus Christ. He doesn't see us. He sees Jesus Christ. When the Bible says that they hunger and thirst after righteousness, Who is righteous? Jesus Christ. It's an individual in their beatitudes, not do attitudes. And when you are being what you're supposed to be, as the Spirit of God is dealing with us, we hunger and thirst after the righteous one, Jesus Christ. There's a problem when we don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. Right there. And you say, but they're lost. No, they're thrown away. Why? Their body's destroyed, so their souls can be saved. Right? Isn't that Corinthians? Okay. Once saved, always saved? That's good. Got to remember, it's one thing I loved. I loved being a sailor. I loved it. I loved that part, and all of a sudden I got saved. I went, ooh. Problem is that you can still take the boy out of the Navy. You just can't take the Navy out of the boy. You know, and I guess why I did so well with the inmates, I don't know. But I did pretty good with those guys. The fact of it is, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. We're clean before God. We're righteous because of what he has done. We have repented of our sins. Repented of our sins and received the Lord Jesus Christ, and we trust only in him and we love him. Okay? And it goes on to say in verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. You're always seeing in. It's not something outside. Listen, let me read the rest of this. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Now, what he's saying there is, in the book of John, the Lord is talking about us bearing fruit. Okay? And he says, you can't bear fruit unless you're in me and I in you. Now, if you disagree with me with this, don't say anything yet. And when we leave tonight, if you disagree with me, don't say anything yet. I'll let the Lord work on your heart and you find out that the Bible's right. And it'll revolutionize your Christian life. You say, now many of the people that were here for the many years as I pastored here understood that we are the will of God. People say, what is the will of God? I'm looking for the will of God. Stop it. Just knock it off. Because we are the will of God. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. Right? He came for us. He came for us. What is our function? Well, go back to the Garden of Eden. What did Adam and Eve do before the fall? What did they do with the Lord? Did they witness or did they walk? Whoa! So what is our primary thing to do as a Christian? Walk with the Lord. Well, we have been saved to serve. No, we haven't. We have been saved to worship. We've been saved to worship. Man, we get our priorities so out of whack. Now, as God has saved us, now he starts pouring his will in our life. For what? To be conformed to the image of his son. We're his will. He's going to pour his will in us. And he says, what about the will outside? I'll take care of it. Just be concerned with what's going on in here. Remember, it's the be attitudes, not the what? Do attitudes. All right? Now, oh, this stuff is good. So you abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. So you cannot bear fruit. Now, bearing fruit is not going out and winning a soul. Turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Just hang with me for a minute. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, okay? Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the what? Spirit. Okay, now, let me ask you a question. Brother Fred, I'm going to pick on you because I love you with all my heart. What did those grapes do to become grapes? They didn't do anything, did they? Just stay attached. Abide in him, he in us. You know. Next thing you know, fruit is starting to form, right? Is he working at it? Is he stressing? Is he wringing his hands? Oh, I got to bear fruit. I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to bear. No, he's just there. And all of a sudden, fruit starts blossoming and starts coming. Now, the next question, Brother Fred, is this fruit for the branch or the vine? Is it for someone else? Okay, now, you answer right. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Why? Because you're just being attached. What does that branch do to produce that? Not a thing. It is what God produces in us without work. How do we do it? Remain attached. Remain in him and he in us. And you say, well, that's easy. I love all kinds of people. What about the unlovable? Do you, Brother Fred, do you remember when Brother Eugene was here, Blackburn? And he said, people have asked me, how can I love those inmates? You know, I don't know how long he worked with Rock of Ages. How can you love those inmates? And he said this. He says, I don't. But God loves them through me. It's a fruit of the Spirit, something we can't do. Because I'm going to tell you something. In a church, there's a lot of unlovable people here. Just like you and just like me. I have a problem. I have a problem with a big mouth. I'll stand for something, and I'll say something, and people get angry at me. I have one of those personalities that people get angry at. I don't know what it is. Either people get angry at me, or some of the weirdest people come and want to talk to me. What is that about? Is there something on my forehead? I know I got a big thing that says, weird people come and talk to this guy. You know, and they come up, and my wife's, and she just goes off, you know. Why are you talking to that guy, you know? He wanted to talk to me. He said, well, why do you talk to him? I said, I guess the Lord just brought him here, and I just wanted to talk to him. But do you have to egg him on? I'm not egging him on. I'm just talking to him, man. You know, she goes, well, just stop it, will you? You know, and I go, I don't know what it is. Why do they always have to come to you? And that's the question I'm wondering, you know. You know, when I was pastoring here, there was all kinds of weird people that came in here, and most of them didn't leave. I remember Brother Mike, his son came in here when we were over at our first building we bought, and he came in, he sat in the back, and he goes, good night, Brother Anchor, you got some of the weirdest people I've ever seen in a church. And I said, well, are you going to put in a visitor's card? He goes, not yet. I know what you're going to do. You're going to come and visit me, and I don't want you to come and visit me. And I'm like, wow, that was pretty straightforward. After about 3 or 4 months, he goes, Brother Anchor, you can come now visit me. I put the card in, you know. So I went and visited him. I said, why do you have weird people? I said, but you know something? They're really nice, you know. And I said, they are, you know. But there are people. Love them. Joy. That's not your joy. This is God's joy. Peace. I would tell those inmates, they'd say, Pastor, pray for us. Pray for us, because there is no peace in our where our cells and stuff are. It's chaos in there. And I'd say, brother, there'll never be peace in there. I says, until there's peace in you, and when you bring the peace in, you bring the peace of God. The fruit of the Spirit. See, the fruit of the Spirit's not for us. It's for others. It's for others to pick from the fruit of the Spirit. And the day, let me tell you something. I had to really stop and think about this lifestyle evangelism, all right? Let me tell you something. If you're not living like a Christian, they will never hear what you have to say. You ought to be, and not a some phony, baloney Christian, but what I'm talking about is just love the Lord and all those weird people that come and talk to all the weird people, all right? Because those are the weird people they brought to you. I ain't going to talk to them. Where's the love of God? And you meet some very interesting people, right? You know, I mean, really interesting. You ever met a rocket scientist? I know a rocket scientist. A real one. Worked for NASA. He got a PhD in rocketry? I don't know what it is. But he's a really smart guy. But he can't move from here down. And I love to go talk to him. You know what this rocket scientist loves to do? He loves to turn on the TV and the old country western guys, I mean the old ones, they're all dead now, and have them talk about their churches and sing gospel songs. Who am I to say no? You know, I could beat him up. He can't move, but I won't. He's a precious man, and I love the guy. It's what's up here. He's just a marvelous man. And I don't really have anything to do with anything, but, you know. So what I'm saying is peace, long-suffering, gentleness. This is what God is putting in you. Why? Because you abide in Christ, and Christ abides in you. You know, we really work hard to being a Christian. Let me ask you a question. When did you ever see in the New Testament, ever, one time, where the Lord Jesus Christ is walking around and he's hurrying here and he's wringing his hands, he's hurrying there because he's got to be here and he's got to be there and he's got to do this and he's got to do that. You never saw it. Wherever he went, he was like in repose. You know, he never hurried anywhere. He just went. And where he was at, he was in the center of God's will. And God brought the people to him. Do you know they say that there was no illness during that time? He healed everybody. How many of those got saved? Very few. But you know something? He loved them anyway. Unconditionally. So, for without me, you can do nothing. Instead of, now go on. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Now, the problem with Christians is that we ask the Lord to bless our going. Lord, could you bless the way I'm going? Are you sure you're supposed to go that way? See, there was a man in the Bible that wanted to go one way, and the Lord said, no, you're going the other way. He wanted to go into Asia. No, it's not the way I want you to go. Lord, I want you to bless my going. No, I want you to go this way. I'll bless that. See, if we're allowing God to work his will in our life, we will start praying more according to his will. All right? Because he changes your mind, he changes your heart, he changes you and he changes your prayers. And so when you do pray, it'll be according to his will, not the fallen will of a messed up man, woman. Right? Is that good? If you say, well, have I been having a problem praying wrong? Don't ask me. If you ask a question, I think you know the answer. Herein, verse 8, is my Father glorified. Not us. It's nothing we've done. We haven't done a thing yet. All we've had to do was abide, and he abides. In and in. Working in this thing out. That's how we work out our salvation. Because he works it in, we work it out, and that is called grace. Grace is an active word. The Holy Spirit deals within our heart, and we work that thing out, and we stumble, and we stumble, and when am I going to get this thing right? I don't know. You're not going to the next step till you get this thing going good. And then you grow, and it's a joy, you know? And so herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Now, wait a minute. I thought, am I bearing the fruit? No, it's what he is doing in us, because we have submitted ourselves to him. We abide in him, he in us, he makes the fruit. All of a sudden, he's glorified by what he does in us. Wait a minute. How do we glorify God? Let him work in your life and submit yourself to the Word of God. And submit yourself to each other. Alright? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now we're the disciples because whatever he's doing in us. So, in verse 9, as a Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. It's always in. It's what he, listen, when he has come and you've invited him into your life, you have this dead spirit. And the Spirit of God comes and he quickens our spirit. It means that he has entwined himself with our dead spirit and he has reanimated us as Christians. We'll never lose him because he has us. He is entwined. That's what the word means. Isn't that good? Kick him out. Go ahead, try. Not happening. So when the Lord takes the Holy Spirit out, where are you going? Glory to God. Okay. Now, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. What are his commandments? Stay in him. Yep. You got it? This is what he's talking about. He's not going back to 10 commandments. Abide in him, he in you. And what does it say? Even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and what? Abide in his love. That's what he's talking. It's abide. Live in him. Let him live in you. Let him do those things. It's just living together. Having that walking in the cool of the evening with the Lord. That is abiding and walking and talking and enjoying each other in these times and with the Spirit of God and his word. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you. What? That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Listen, that's the filling of the Spirit of God. When he has us and he fills us, our joy is now overflowing, and it's not something it's just it's confidence. Don't you just want to say, you know, it's good to be a Christian because he's always there. I abide in him, and he abides in me. What about those times that it seems like your prayers don't go past the roof? He hears them. That confidence. He's already said that. You're here. I'm here. We're good. We're good. And if you don't have confidence, let me tell you something. That's not uncommon. People, you're insane if you worry. Really? Then why did he talk so much about worry? Because we are worry warts, aren't we? We worry about everything. And he says, stop worrying. Abide in me. He always has to remind us, abide in me. Well, when is the fruit going to come? When is the fruit going to come? You're not going to notice it. Just abide. Don't worry about it. Just enjoy him and keep your eyes off the other stuff that you think is going to come. Because, listen, heaven is not heaven without Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is not in heaven, it's called hell. All right? And you say, well, I'm waiting to get to the kingdom of God. You are the kingdom of God. Doesn't he live there? Do you abide in him? Because he abides in you. But you know, there's times that I'll be in one part of the house and my wife, she's calling, you know, Han! Han! All of a sudden my phone rings. Hello? Where are you? Where are you? I'm in the kitchen. What are you doing? I'm reading, studying. Why don't you come down and eat? I said, why didn't you say something? You didn't hear me. I'm going to have to make my own now. So, you know, it's not... How can, you sometimes better have a smaller house. You know, some of us have... Well, some of us have big houses. I got it buttoned tonight, okay? Some of us have big houses. Some have little houses, you know? Some of you know what I mean. This is my commandment. Here it comes. You ready? This is hard. Verse 12. This is my commandment. That you love one another as I have loved you. Now, oh, well, good. Well, that's easy. Really? There's some of you who are not real lovable, man. Some of you come in as sour pusses. You're just grumpy. You've had a bad day. Someone just looked at you funny and blah, 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 blah. And the only way that we can love you is God loving you through us. Because right now, you're not very lovable. Guilty. Thank you, Wes. You know that you're not very lovable. Amen? Okay. We're all like that. But I'm pretty lovable. No, you're not. None of us are lovable. But we love each other because the Father loved the Son. And we're supposed to love each other. You know why? Because that's how the world knows that we're Christians. If we love each other. And not everybody love each other. And that's a problem. You know why? Not attached. You're not attached like you think you are. But look at me. I'm a branch. Yeah, but there's nothing hanging off from that thing. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I know men that have done that. And he says in verse 14, the Lord says, you are my friends. If you do whatsoever I command you. Now, what is he saying? He's saying this. The Lord Jesus Christ always did the Father's will. Always. He spent a lot of time with the Father. He would go away and spend time with the Father. Right? the disciples came to him and says, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us. Had a pastor tell me one time, if you're a Christian, you know how to pray. That's not true. That's not true. It is something you must learn. Because the Lord Jesus Christ always did the Father's will. He not once did his own will, not one time in his life. And because of that, that's why he is the Christ, the Anointed One. That's why he lived a perfect life. That's why at the end of his life he says, Lord, let it be thine will and not mine. And you realize, and many of you heard me say it, and I say it over and over and over because it's so precious. When he was on that cross, it's the only time he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because the darkness has descended. It darkened everything out because he became us. He took our punishment. And 3 hours later, when the darkness lifted, they looked up. And the book of Isaiah says, they were astonished at what they saw. They were astonished because his visage was marred more than any man. When I studied that, it means this. He was, you say, well, he had no broken bones, but I'm going to tell you what happened. He was twisted. He was gnarled. He was starting to putrefy. They were astonished, not at what people did, but because the sin that was on him. And the only reason they knew who it was is because the two guys on each side of him said they were astonished at what they saw. That's our sin, folks. Our sin is exceedingly sinful. There's something you need to get out of your vocabulary. One little word has one letter. What do you think it is? What am I up here for? You guys know. It's him. It's him. He does it in us. He gets the glory. That's why 15, verse 15 says, henceforth, and I'm going to finish with this, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And he says, well, aren't we supposed to be servants? Let's be his friends. Let's abide. And Christ abide in us. He is the husband, and he is going to be snipping things off. There's going to be some things and go, ooh, ow, ow, pow. And Jesus is the vine. We're the branches, and let the Spirit of God flow. And you know something? Your Christian life will be revolutionized. You know something? It takes the pressure off. Say, so what are you doing, Brother Anchor? How are you serving to God? How are you doing this? How are you doing that? I'm not. Then what are you doing? Abiding. Because we got nothing to glory, do we? Father, we thank you again for who you are. I thank you that you have loved me unconditionally. Lord, I have messed up more than I think one man should ever be able to be messed up without you taking me out. I'm grateful for these dear folks, people here in whom my wife and I love so dearly. Why? Because you first loved us. Lord, if there's things in our lives that need to be dealt with, I pray that we would just submit to you. And not just tonight, as we get up tomorrow morning, to know that we have to quit striving and just let you do some things in us and just allow it. And then recognize what they are. Because you're making us into the image of your Son. Because all that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, all that, that's not us, Lord, that's you. And that fruit is for a lost and dying world. It's for our brothers and our sisters in Christ. It's for those who need to taste the good fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God always points to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ always does the will of the Father. I pray that tonight you'd pour your will into us tonight. We ask these all because of our Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. Amen. Pastor, you want to take it?